Afiya v'tanur b'sari. Now, you have only one oven. Let's say you have a plashing oven. And it's coming Shavuot. And your wife wants to bake something with milk, chalavi. How do you do that?
Well, you can either kosher the oven.
Exactly. You
have to get a Wonder Pot.
You could do that too. But how do you kosher this oven in order for you to use it for a milchig?
You scrape it out really
simple.
Well.
First thing, it should be 24 hours without use. Okay? Second thing is to clean it really well. Really well, it doesn't have to be Pesach cleaning. It has to be that there's nothing left that you could... doesn't exist. Okay? It's in the inside the walls of the seder. Talking about anything to see. The aim, it's called. If you see
they
the
have
eye.
Really good oven cleaner here.
Huh?
It's non toxic, but you do have to wear gloves. Keep the windows open. This is spray.
You definitely cannot use the same pans. So what you do is you use chatpami, yeah? You can buy the aluminum foil, aluminum pans. Right, and heat up the oven to the hottest point you can get, even for 1 minute. It's the hottest. I mean, let it run. I don't know, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. It's the hottest. Half an hour, right there. It gets very, very, very hot. Then you catch the oven, you could do chalavi in there. Okay?
How long do you have to wait after you cook chalavi?
We'll see the opposite. We'll see in a second.
Okay.
If your wife just wants to make again, from chalavi to besari, the same thing. Same idea. But if you want to, your wife wants to bake, now she baked milch, let's say, in the oven, now she wants to make challah also for the milch and also for the plashing meal. What does he have to do? Now she's going to bake in the same oven, what is it? It's fire, the challah is fire, so what is she going to do? So, the maisa can. Even if the oven is just clean, it's already, it keeps the challah fire. The best is to wait 24 hours and to clean it and the whole thing also for fire. But even if not, even just you looked right away, there was nothing in there, it was clean. So you didn't see anything. You don't see gravy, you clean the gravy out, there's no gravy or there's no milk, whatever. And you put the challahs in, so we said that they're fire.
What about double wrapping it?
The challah?
You put it in a pan and you wrap it twice.
But the challah, you're not going to get brown. Right? It's going to stay white. It's not going to be challah. It's called challah. It's a different problem with calling it, making a motzi on it. It has to be revealed to the fire.
Okay.
If one did not clean the oven and there was milk left over or a fleshy left over, so the bread that he baked is milchig or fleshig. Okay. Now there's another halacha which has to do with the whole year also. Eating on one table. אסור לשני בני אדם לאכול בשולחן אחד זה בשר זה חלב, אלא אם כן אין מכירים זה את זה כלל. Two people cannot eat on one table. One is eating a shawarma, another guy is eating a cheesecake. אסור. Unless they don't know each other. They're both sitting in there somewhere. Okay? I don't know who that is. He's eating there his sandwich. I'm eating my sandwich over here. I have nothing to do with him. Okay? And if we do want to eat together at one table, what do? You have to make a hekel. What's a hekel?
Put mats down.
You can put mats down. One has a milking mat, one has a plashing mat. You could put something in between. You could do like this. Someone's recording here? Two recorders? What's going on here? It's yours? Philips, Abrasani. Anyways, you can put this like in between. Okay, it's considered a difference. Okay? Difference for milking and fleshing. We're talking about someone sitting together, milking and fleshing, they want to eat together. You can put this in between. Hello? You can talk Divrei Torah. Okay.
That's his case.
Anything which is not. Not normally there, exactly. It's just like the laws of Nida. Someone's eating with his wife, which is Nida. Same law alone, just two of them. It's the same laws that they put between them. Something which will be recognizable for them. The reason is very simple, because You might come, if it's a friend of yours and you're eating together, let me taste this a second. You come to taste it, and you're eating milk or fleisha, you can come to mix together. That's the reason why we make a difference between the two people. Afrada ben basar lechalav. כשאוכלים לחם עם בשר, צריך להיזהר בו, החייך לא הולך לו עם חלב. When you're eating bread with meat, be very careful not to eat with that same bread afterwards. Milk products. A lot of times, there could be drips, something could drip on it or whatever. Even if it's on the table, you cut on the table, you put it now on the, you cut a bunch of it, put it on the table. And you're eating now the whole meal, fleishig meal. Afterwards, you want to put it away, and tomorrow you're going to have a milking meal, you want to eat it, asu. Because you don't know what happened, something touched it, it was on a milking table. A good etzah is to put on the table only what you're going to eat. And the rest, put on the side. You don't have to cut up two whole challahs if you're not going to eat them all today. You cut up one challah, you put on the table, good. And if something was left over, you can't eat it afterwards with the dairy meal, or the opposite, you can't eat the dairy one with the milk meal. Salam. Same law is with regarding salt shakers. Not salt shakers, salt vessels, salt. Because the whole thing that holds, like little bowls that hold salt, a lot of times people have like nice things for Shabbat. And you do it with your fingers like that. So that's the problem, because a lot of times you have your hands are a little bit oily from the, you had a second ago, you had a tzitza, a schnitzel with oil, and you do like that. And now you're going to have a milking meal with the same salt like that. Problem, it's mamash meat. Right? So it's good to have salt shakers. That you could have one for chalavi and bistari, you don't have to have two.
Two different ones.
Yeah. Or you can have
two different knives. One for the salt with milk and one for the salt with meat.
Knife? What are you going to do with the knife?
Yeah, take a little bit of salt and knife, put it on that.
Ah, it says that a knife is just a bread knife. I don't have a special bread knife for chalavi, but
oh, we have these little spoons that we use for sugar or salt.
Right, that's another idea.
They're really, really small.
That's what we have also. We have in the kitchen, my wife puts the salt in a big jar. She has only one jar like that, and she has a spoon in there, so she doesn't dip the spoon into the milk or plate. She uses the spoon.
Yeah, it's always
fine. And if not, so keep two jars. One has the milk label on it, one has the plate label on it. יש להיזהר שלא להניח סירי בשר מעל סירי חלב או לאפר ומגרר בקום אחר, אלא אם כן שניים מחוסים, יש מוכרים אפילו בשני תאים, אם אתה עשוי רשת. To be very careful not to put two pots, one with a milchik dish in it, and one with fleishik food in it, one on top of each other if they're not covered. Something could drip and this, you won't even know. Therefore, cover it well.
Especially in the fridge.
Especially in the fridge, exactly. As he says here also. Okay. Now, there's a thing in France, it's more common that people eat cheese with worms. It's like a delicacy or something.
Especially in Italy too.
Yeah, it's special worms. Worms that they're made into and you never heard such a thing? No?
They put the eggs of the worms on the cheese, and it develops. There's a whole article in Kashrus magazine on it.
The kitzur, the ma'aser, according to Ben Ish Chai, we don't eat that.
It's rather disgusting.
What the mold one is not disgusting?
No, I mean seeing the live worms.
No, I never saw it, but
that's the penicillin. You know.
The what?
The blue mold.
Those I had. It's very good, actually. In France. Anyways, because the halacha brings down which the thing is that the worms, stam halachically, you should know that the worms which are still to eat are worms shoretz al haaretz, with they went onto the land, they walked around, they were outside, but something which was made within, because worms could become from bacteria also.
Like what?
La yachal be bacteria? So how come the halacha says that if the worm was made from the inside, so then you're allowed to eat it?
He said the worm is still inside. It says made from the inside.
Where does it come from?
It doesn't say made from bacteria.
What is it made from?
The eggs.
The eggs that the parent creature injects into the food.
So, whatever, if it's made inside.
Bacteria is
committed to eat
things.
Okay.
Like saying, train grows from a bicycle.
But according to Rav Eliyahu, we don't eat these. And Rabbi Nishchai, he says, shouldn't eat these worms from the cheese, anyways. Not the Maaseh was, we're not eating worms right now. Now, milk and fish. Milk and fish. According to the Shulchan Aruch, according to Ben Nishchai, brings down, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz brings down, the Svaradim are knowing this, not to eat milk and fish together. The Rama says we're allowed to eat milk and fish together.
Don't they have an American bagel and lox?
Yes. All Ashkenazim.
Milk and cheese. I mean, it's fish and
all
cheese.
Ashkenazim eat meat and meat, fish and cheese, and it's not a problem, and you're allowed to. If you call it the Rama, there's no problem. If you don't go by the Rama, you go by Sfaradim, you're not allowed to.
Unhealthy, though. Ben Shmaim thought that he learned from a doctor in Baghdad that milk and fish can cause the milk to curdle very hard in the intestines, in the digestive system, and cause stomach troubles.
That's regarding health reasons. Yeah, that's the reason why. By the way, why it should be a stool, because it's dangerous.
Bagels and cream cheese and lox is now a stool.
Huh? I didn't say nothing about stool. You're allowed to have it. According to our Rama, the Rama was big. It's 500 years ago.
Yeah.
It's huge. Right. Yeah, he said we're not machmir enough. We can eat. So you can eat. You Ashkenazi?
I like bagels, cream cheese.
And baya, enjoy it. So years I didn't eat.
I also think that for many years, or generations, fish were sold in the same shops as meat. There was a fish maker saying knife where some of the...
We were more careful about it.
Of meat got in where the fish were. That's what...
Yeah, another reason.
That's why this was made aside from the thing of bagel.
Okay, ala. Sakin chalavit o bestarit. אסור להתחיל לחתוך לחם בסכין של בשר, אפילו שהיא נקייה על מנת לאכול את הלחם מגבינה וכן להפך. למעשה, you need to have a special knife for bread. It's called a bread knife. A special knife for bread. It's parve. It's only used for bread. A parve bread. We said bread should be parve all the time. It's only used for parve. If you have, for some reason, you have a milchig bread, you use a milchig knife for that. But you should have a special knife, which is a parve knife. You have a nice one, kaze, with all kinds of tziurim on it.
You know, don't drop it.
Ichvot Shabbat Kodesh. No, you don't have to have a glass one. You could have a regular metal one. I have one for years.
If we had a really nice one with all the grain and everything. It was dropped. It was totally hollow inside.
Now we have another halacha. Mi Shulchan Aruch. Mi shechatach batzal or shal dvarim chalifim b'sakin b'sarit. If someone cut an onion or any other things which are sharp, onion, garlic,
radish.
Lemon, radish, things which are sharp, right? If someone cut them with a knife, with a flashing knife, that onion, okay, he should not use that onion, he's not allowed to use that onion with milchik. He uses it with a flashing knife, because even if the it's completely clean and wasn't used for 24 hours, because it brought down the duchka de sakina, the pressing of the knife on the thing, transfers the, and it's together with the sharpness of the of what you're cutting, it transfers the. Okay. So, יפה מאוד. סתם, it's good to have also a pair of knife for sharp things. I have always like that. I have one knife, which is always pair. I cut onions with it, I cut garlic with it. I can do whatever I want with the garlic. And I cut it on a glass tray. I always got a glass cutting there, cutting wood, which is balade.
Be sure to sharpen that knife regularly because glass has a habit of dulling knives.
Okay, it's a good setup. Tarovet chalav tarovet basar lefer bishishinu. Okay. Yafeh meod. The halacha is called batel bishishin. You heard of batel bishishin? If you have 1/60th. As opposed to the istu, you're allowed to eat the dish. What does that mean? If you have a whole pot of chicken soup, and your kid, he was standing drinking shoko over it, right, with milk, and a little bit fell inside. What are you going to do?
Scream.
No, you don't have to scream. You slap the kid. No. you call the rug. First of all, you get the kid out of the kitchen. That's the first thing.
You go to the field and screw to Hashem for half an hour.
You call the Rav, you call the Rav, and he asks you, how big is the soup? And you say, oh, it has 20 liters in it. And how much choco is filled in it? Two tablespoons. And by, yeah, for sure you have 60 at Keneged, and you can eat it. Yechatchila. Meaning, it's not b'diavid. And if a situation like this happened, yechatchila, you can eat it. It's not a problem. Actually, in Chutz La'aretz, in many places where there's kashrus is not very developed, like in Argentina and some places, and a lot of places, they have lists, kosher lists. In Chile, I was in also, they have a kosher list. Yeah, you download from the local rabbi of Chile, they have the local, the kashrus list. The products, which are kosher 100%. You know I have sure, but they're kosher because they know they went to the factory a few times. They saw they made a thing. There's no mashgiach, but there's only one way they make it. It's kosher. Come on. Okay? I'm not saying now it's the highest level of kosher, but it's kosher. Now they have a different level. It's called B60. Bata B'shish. Meaning, they made it in machines which also had milk products in them, which we don't know where the milk came from. So, this product doesn't have milk, but maybe it's... So... It's kosher, but it's not good to be samech on it. When I was in Chutz La'aretz, we did not eat stuff that says B60 on it. Because Batel V'Shishim is only if I went and I made a mistake, if something happened, then I could rely on it. Not lechatchila to come and say, oh good, I'm going to enjoy it. Like the joke I always say about the piece of meat, the piece of pork that fell into the thing. You know the joke I always say? I'll say it again. Hey, you weren't here, so I know what I'll say again. It was once at the little town. Everyone was very poor in Europe, Hamash. So they went to the... They used to put a pot in the middle of the square of the town. And everyone, whoever had something, he put it inside. That's how they had challenge for Shabbos. Some guy had chickens, they put chicken. The guy had only potatoes, garlic, whatever. Each one, sweet potato, whatever people had, they put inside. And right before Shabbos, they put water in there, they got by him, the people in charge took it, they heated it up. And the next day, everyone came with a big pot in front of their house and got the thing to eating for Shabbos lunch. One week, on Friday, a guy was walking around and wanted to see what's going on. He was carrying on his shoulder meat from the other kind that we don't eat. And a little piece of that meat fell inside the pot. Now, go find the big thing. Everyone ran to the row. What's going to be? This is it. We're not getting. What do we need for Shabbos? Bread? We don't have even any bread. Rav said, one second. How big is the pot? Let's see. And he sees a big pot. And how big was the piece of meat? He says, this big. That big. Perfect. It's about to be shishim. It's kosher. You're allowed to eat it. Fine. So a few weeks pass. And the Rav comes around to the pot to see what's going on. He tells the guy, tell me the past few weeks. Best challenge, in the past 2 weeks, better than ever. Since you told us the sheet, the heta of Batav Shishim, every week we put a piece in there. So lechatchila, you don't do that, yeah? If a piece fell in, besides, a piece anyway is the whole problem. If it's a recognizable piece, it's not Batav Shishim, only if it's something which is mixed, and you cannot recognize it. Only then it's Batav Shishim. So lechatchila, you don't do Batav Shishim. If Batav Shishim happened, it's kosher 100%. So.
The question about chilling. If somebody has potatoes and a grain together in a like a chilling. They say the bracha of mazonos.
And what?
On the, let's say there's wheat and potatoes together. And you can see the potatoes. You can see a potato. You see the bracha of mazonos on the wheat and that covers the potatoes? Or is the potatoes you have to say a separate bracha?
It's big potatoes?
Regular potato.
Pieces of potato.
You can see the potato.
It's not the mushed inside. No. Two brochas.
You have to say two brochas.
Of course.
Where are two brochas?
Ma?
Cooked wheat. It's not as enough.
If it's
no wheat in there. Just
like the wheat.
Wheat and potato. That's
what is the wheat is, you can see it one by one, the wheat?
You can see the wheat.
What's broccoli making that?
My wife says Adama.
Adama? Of course Adama.
Only if it's you can't see
only
it.
Only if it's a porridge.
Then it's... Mazonos.
If you take Or broken wheat.
Yeah.
Broken wheat is mizonot. If it's whole kernels,
yeah,
it's adama.
If you can see them.
You can see whole kernels, adama. If you make a porridge out of it, or if it's broken, like jarish it's called here.
Then you want to say it's mizonot.
Then you make mizonot. Yeah. That's halach. All the five grains.
Nice, because I would have thought just the opposite. If you can see it, tell what it is, name is over. No, it's Adama.
One bracha, Adama. But if it's in a challenge where it's a big mush and you don't recognize anything, and there's barley and there's stuff in it, which is a mush.
As long as it covers everything.
Everything. As long as it's a piece of meat. A piece of meat is shakor.
It's not
you recognize it.
Secondary to the.
If it's a recognizable piece of meat, you make shakol. If it's just fell apart, also, you don't make a bracha at all. Just for zanot to make. Even if it's a minority, like we learned.
Very simple solution. Have bread with it.
I said, it's Thursday night, in the middle of the night, after you learned for 5 hours straight, you want to have a challenge, you know. So. There's a thing called Ze'at ha-ma'achal, the sweat of food, meaning the if a hot food, when the steam comes up, it's called the sweat of the food in the halacha. And that has the same law as the food itself. Practically, what do we care? You can't take now something milchig and hold it over a steaming fleishig food. Because the steam is fleishig. So you're going to make a trade. You won't be able to eat that food that you're holding. Okay, it's halacha.
Sweat. Transfers.
The steam itself is what where it comes from. The same law of where it comes from. Okay.
The same thing if you have boiling milk. You hold a piece of meat over it.
Exactly.
Same idea.
Mm-hmm. If it's steaming. Same thing with you have a stove, a stove top. You're gonna have two pots of boiling food. One is fleshy, one is milky. It's problematic with the steam coming up. Okay, one of them should be covered all the time. Stop. A good idea is not to have two pots of two different kinds at the same time. It's a school of problems. You want problems? Put milky and fleshy in the same time on the same stove. Not a good idea.
What about if you have a hot water urn and you're pouring hot water into
even if the steam coming out, we're not machmir that it's considered it's going through the water coming out now. It's not coming out anymore. So mikrogal, you heard of that? That dangerous thing that does waves into the food.
Oh, back voice.
Okay, so dino chamur tamitanu, it has. Yeah, the laws of it is more and more strict than an oven. And if you want to use it for milk, for meat and then for milk, or the opposite, you need, there's five conditions. You writing them down? By this we're going to finish our level for today. You need, first of all, separate plates. You can't put it right, usually you have that glass plate inside. You can't use the same glass plate for milk and fleishig.
Can you cover it?
There you go. What do you kind of cover with? Thin foil?
I was thinking of steel wool. First off, you don't use a microwave.
You have to wait 24 hours. You have to clean the microwave with a wet cloth. Right, there'll be nothing left in there. Then you take a plastic cup with hot water. And you put it inside there until some of the water gets evaporated around. You boil it, keep it inside, and you cover the food when you put it inside. Kitzur. I know people have microwave, they always cover the food. You cover the food and it's covered. It's not going around.
Really covered.
Plastic, hard plastic.
Plastic wrap.
Special plastic that goes into microwave. The food will still cook.
They're still dangerous today, these new ones?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So when you always cover, you can get food.
And buy it. Cover it.
You can.
It's covered, then buy it.
Sometimes they
put separate plates and separate this, yes.
Put a piece of bread in there. It came out of the freezer. They wanted to thaw out the bread, so they put it in there. few minutes. It could be a problem. It depends on what was in there before.
Yeah.
Say it was meat. Or it was milk, but we don't know. It's
probably me.
Well, the problem is not only the size of the microwave, but also the pan side.
Which makes the burn. That you can't kasher it.